One of my very favorite passages of scriptures is found in Isaiah 53, where Jesus is described as the great burden bearer, where he's described as the one who was rejected and despised, he was acquainted with grief, yet he bore our sin. This is not a lesson on that passage today, but it's the introduction to it, because Jesus really illustrated, demonstrated true burden bearing. He did not have the sin in his life, but he took the sin that was in our life, and he bore that burden of our iniquities, of our sins. Galatians, the sixth chapter, is where we're going to be taking our lesson from tonight. I'd like to read the first five verses. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For everyone shall bear his own load. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. That's such an interesting expression, because it follows somebody trespassing, somebody sinning. And what does it say? If you're spiritual, restore that person and help bear his burden. We need to be so careful that we don't become hypercritical, that we don't become condemning, that we don't reject, but that we work to restore that one who's overtaken in a trespass, and we understand that there are burdens that we are supposed to bear. Now tonight I'd like to propose there's really three different kinds of burdens. The first burden that I want to talk about is one that we have to bear alone. That's verse number 5. Each one should bear his own load or his own burden. There's also burdens that we can help others and we can accept help in. That's what he's talking about in verse number 2. And then there's burdens that are to be cast upon the Lord, ones that we can't do. So we'll go back and look at the first one. Burdens that we have to bear alone. We cannot say, oh, poor me, everybody's got to carry my load. There's part of the load of life that I have to stand up and accept as an adult for myself. Joshua 24 and verse number 15, Joshua makes it very plain that the people of Israel have a responsibility to make a choice. What are they going to do? How are they going to direct their life? What is the criteria they're going to use between how do you make a decision? He says you can follow the gods that your fathers followed, or you can follow God, but you have to make that choice. He says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But you make your own choice, because you're going to have to answer to God for your choice. I can't make the choice for you. If I was going to make the choice for you, it's very simple. There would be no problem. Because you see, I can look at you and say, you need to follow the Lord. Now, when I have to make the choice for me, that means I've got to be honest enough to look at myself, and I've got to see myself where I am and where I need to be. I have to choose between right and wrong, and so do you. And nobody can make that choice for you. Boy, as parents, don't we sometimes wish we could? Oh, my goodness. Why don't our kids listen? Why won't they do what we tell them to do? Matt one time looked at me when we were having that discussion. And he just raised his eyebrows and he said, did you? End of discussion. End of discussion. No, everybody has to make their own choice as to what's right and what's wrong. Everyone's going to have to answer for themselves. It's not because this influence or that influence or anything else. I'm responsible for me. Second burden that we have to bear alone is discussed in 2 Samuel 12, and I'm going to be looking at verse 19 and following. David had committed a sin with Bathsheba. He had taken her and had known her sexually while she was married to someone else. And he impregnated her. And then he had her husband killed. And Nathan came to him and let him know about it. And let him know that God knew what was happening. David went through some real tough times here. Verse number 15 said, "The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and prayed all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. And then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that his child was dead. They said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke with him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him the child is dead? He might do some harm." Now listen to verse 19. David saw his servants were whispering. David perceived the child was dead. Therefore David asked, "Is the child dead?" And they answered, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And he went to his own house, and when he was requested, they set food before him and he ate. And his servants said to him, "What is this that you've done? You fasted and wept for the child who was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David understood he had to face the consequences of his sin. He lost that child. And it was a result of his sin, Bathsheba's sin. And there are consequences for sins. And we have to bear that burden alone. I can't bear your burden for the sins you commit, and you can't bear the burden for my sins I commit. I have to bear the consequences of sin. Just like I have to choose between what's right and wrong. Those are burdens that I have to bear alone. No one can bear those for me. Wouldn't we love to? And take that load off of our loved ones? Off of someone who just is so dearly suffering. But you know, there are some things we just have to face ourselves. And we have to bear those responsibilities, and nobody else can. There's a third thing that we have to bear alone, and that's eternal judgment. When we stand there at the judgment bar of God, there won't be anybody we can hide behind. There won't be any excuses we can offer. Listen how Paul said it when he described that final judgment for him. 2 Timothy 4, starting with verse number 6. Paul said, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. Time of my departure is at hand." He's saying, I am ready to face eternal judgment. My body is worn out. My life is at an end. And my departure is at hand. Now listen how he describes it. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Paul said, I'm going to have to answer, and I know that God's going to give me a crown. But folks, there wasn't anybody else. Timothy couldn't go for him. Titus couldn't go for him. Barnabas couldn't go for him. Nobody else will be able to go with you or with me. Now, the good news, the rest of that verse, he says that that righteous crown's not to me only, but also to all those that love his appearing. But those three things we have to individually face alone. I can't hide behind Sandy and her goodness and her gentleness, her graciousness. I have to stand there on my own. And so will my kids, and so will your kids, and so will your mates, and so will you, and so will your parents. We have to face the choosing of right and wrong. We have to face the consequences of sin, and we have to face eternal judgment. Those are burdens that we have to bear alone. Now, there are burdens that others can bear and that we can bear for other folks. Galatians, the 6th chapter, we're told in verse number 10 that we're to do good to all folks, especially those of the household of faith. We are to see that their burdens are taken care of. It said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I have a responsibility to see to the physical needs of some of my brothers and sisters if I can, and if I have the opportunity and they have the need. That's not something I can say, well, you know, hey, that's their responsibility. I can't do that. God has said that's a burden on the rest of us. We have to bear that burden. James, the 5th chapter, I think, lays another burden upon us as Christians that we need to do for each other. James 5, starting with verse number 15, said, if any among you suffers, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Now listen to this. The power of prayer, or the prayer of faith, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sin, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he goes on to use Elijah as an example. He said he's a man with a nature like us. And he prays earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We have an obligation to pray for each other. And oh, how I covet your prayers. I hope you're praying for me daily, maybe many times a day. Keep me always in your prayers, because I try to keep you in my prayers. That's a burden we can bear for one another. Because, folks, I want to tell you, we can't make it through this life on our own. I honestly look at people in the world and I wonder, how do they do it? How do they do it without God? Without prayer? How can they handle the disappointments and the discouragements and the frustrations and the temptations of life without being able to go to God and say, help, support me, strengthen me, please? We need that for one another. That's a burden that we share for all of us. Our goal, number one, is to get to heaven. Number two, to take as many with us as we possibly can. And that certainly includes this group. And then as many more as we can. And the only way that's going to happen is if we're praying for one another. fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. And oh, how I've seen that throughout my life. And I'm sure you have too. God answers prayers. There's a third thing that burden, I guess you'd call it, that we can share with one another, that we can bear for one another. That's found in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 5. Who then is Paul? 1 Corinthians 3, 5. And who's Apollos? But ministers to whom through you believed, as God gave to each one. I planted and Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. No one person can do the work of the church. We have an absolutely fantastic website. I mean, I get compliments from all over the brotherhood. I had an elder from down in Kentucky call and tell me, Brother Treadway, I really like your website. I've been asked to teach class on something I've never taught before. And I noticed that you have some material on it. Could I possibly use it? Well, absolutely. That's why it's up there. Go for it. But that's happened time and time and time again. My phone number is on the website, so they call me. I can't do that. I don't even know how to post. Andy did. I'm proud of you, Andy, for that. Posting that lesson up there. Zach spends hours. I mean, ask him if you don't think he spends hours every week working on that website. But I'll tell you what, he could work all he wants, and if nobody's giving him content to put on it, we'll have a pretty website with lots of flowers and pictures, and nobody's going to look at it. But you know something? He can do all his work, and I can do all content, and Andy can do his content, and we have half a dozen other people giving us content. And if nobody knows it's there, it's not nearly as effective as it could be. People find us from Saudi Arabia to China, to Siberia, to South Africa, to Finland. I mean, all over, what is it, 27 nations, I think it is? 67 nations people have hit our website. I mean, it's just amazing. But, I wonder how many from Franklin County have. That's because we need to talk about it. We need to say such things as, I really have found a resource that helps me. When I have a question about some scriptural thing, some biblical thing, some ethical thing, some moral thing, and I want to know what does the Bible say about it, I know where to go to find an answer. We got a good search engine on there. And by the way, it translates into, 20, 30 different languages. So if you're talking with somebody that English isn't their primary language, we can do that too. Folks, nobody can do the work of the church themselves. Part of the burden we have to bear for others, and we can ask folks to bear for us, is the work of the church. And that's to reach out with God's love and to tell others. Tell others about our website, about our Bible correspondence courses. We have had people from all over the world taking Bible correspondence courses. And the one that fascinates me the most is we have people from all over the Bible Belt, where there are churches on every corner asking us to send them correspondence courses. We got one just this last week or two from Jackson, Tennessee. That's right beside Fried Hardman. I mean, there's got to be 200 or more preacher students there. There's got to be probably 15 or 20 congregations in that county. And they send up to Gahanna, Ohio, and asked for somebody, please teach me the Bible. Please teach me the Bible. But folks, they'll never get taught without Andy taking the time to grade those lessons and to respond to them. people all over Africa, particularly Nigeria, depend upon Kim and others in the World Bible School. Each and every one of us can have a part, must have a part, if we're going to be as effective as we can be. If we're going to bear one another's burden, each of us ought to feel a burden for the lost that are there. And we need help carrying that burden. So there's burdens that we individually have to carry. There are burdens that we can share as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then it comes down to there's burdens that we have to cast on the Lord. Look in in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And I'm going to be looking at verse 6 and following. So therefore, 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of the Lord, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, it's wonderful to have a friend to talk to. It's wonderful to have a friend to laugh with and to cry with. It's wonderful to have a friend to share with. But there's nobody like having God to share with. There's no one that can do what needs to be done for you like the Lord. And we need to cast our cares, our burdens upon Him. That's His choice. You know, sometimes people cast cares and burdens on us and on us and on us, and burden after burden after burden, until we get tired. We get frustrated. We feel like we're not doing any good. And we get discouraged. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? Oh, we serve a wonderful Lord. Go to 1 Peter. I want to go to chapter 1, verse number 17. Peter tells us, 1:17 of 1 Peter, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that's brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be you also holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call upon the Lord, who without partiality judges each one according to work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your father. Listen, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him up from the dead and gave him the glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The sin debt that we have cannot be paid by us. We cannot do enough, give enough, sing enough, worship enough. We can't be a neighbor enough. We can't be a servant to people enough. That has to be paid by the precious blood of Christ. Not with gold and silver. Not with corruptible things. We have to rely on God to carry that burden of our sins. And as we started this lesson out in Isaiah 53, Jesus already has. He's already paid that sin debt for us. But how many times do we sit and worry about it? How many times do we set and beat ourselves up over how bad we were back in the day? How long do we want to carry that sin burden ourselves and feel so depressed and so discouraged and so frustrated? Give it up, folks. It can't be done. That's a burden that we need to cast on the Lord. Give it to Him so that your faith and your hope are in God, not in yourself, because I know me. I'm not good enough to pay the price. And I know me, and I think you know you well enough to know that I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fail. But I know God's not. My faith and my hope is in Him, and yours needs to be too. But there's another thing that He tells us that we need to cast upon Him, and that's found in the book of Philippians. This time I'm going to the 4th chapter and verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and He'll handle those problems for you. It doesn't say that. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, the only way to get rid of anxiety is to tell God, I'm anxious, God. I'm worried about this. And I know that you can handle it, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I can't tell you, even psychologically, what a difference that makes when you thank somebody for doing something like that. I don't know if you noticed, I very seldom, unless it's something that I'm specifically, privately praying about, ask God to forgive me of my sins. I thank Him for doing it in my prayers. And I do that for a reason. If I'm thanking Him for it, I'm acknowledging that it's His responsibility to take care of the sin that's in my life. And He's already done it by sending His Son. Thank you, God, for forgiving my sins. How would you feel if your child came to the table every meal and said, will you please give me something to eat? Well, of course, it's there. It's on the table. Get in it. Go for it. Sit down and say, thanks, Mom, for fixing the food. That's a different way of looking at it. We don't want our kids to have to beg for what we've given them. Thanks is a little bit nice. Can we not do that for God? If we want to get rid of our anxiety and we want that peace of God that surpasses understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, there's an easy way to do it. And He tells us right here, let your request be made known to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Tell God about it. Let Him handle it, because there is nobody in this world that can take away your anxiety. Not your loved ones, not your mate, not your best friend. Nobody can take away your anxiety. No psychologist or psychiatrist or counselor or anybody else. Now, I'm not saying they can't help with the little bits and pieces here and there, but if you don't have that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known to God, you'll never have that peace of God. You'll never. If you're trying to carry it alone, you need some pills. You need some counseling. You need some help. But it's not going to work. You want that peace of God? He's standing there handing it out to you, saying, here it is, please take it. I want you to have peace. I want you to have anxiety free. I don't want you to have that. I want to guard your hearts and I want to guard your minds if you'll just let me. Let me bear that burden. Because you can't. You can't. It's not going to work. Never has, never will. There's a third thing that God tells us that He'll bear part of the burden. And that's found in Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 25. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is, tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith! Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If I could get one thought into your mind tonight, sufficient unto day is its own trouble. Try to be as sinless and as servant and as holy as you can be today. And you've accomplished something. If I worry about how am I going to handle this pressure that's out there, how am I going to handle that? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to... What are we going to do when this happens? Sufficient unto day is its own troubles. I've always found it that way, haven't you? I mean, if I just take care of today's troubles, I've done a day's work. I haven't had too many days where there wasn't enough trouble to keep me busy. And if you find one of those, call me. I'll loan you some of mine. And if I can't find any, I'm sure I can call around and find somebody willing to give you some troubles to handle for them. Sufficient today. We need to recognize that even our physical needs, God has said, I'll take care of that. Now, He isn't saying, I'm going to give you $1,000 suits and $500 shoes and a Mercedes to drive. I mean, our needs today are staggering. Staggering. Compared with what needs were 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Go back to your great-grandparents. And think about what they had. We were talking at lunchtime about how everybody has cell phones these days. I'm pretty sure at least some of you in here maybe remember back in the day when we had party lines. We didn't even have our own phone line. There were 6-8 people on the block that all, when the phone rang, it rang in every house. Now, it rang once for this house and twice for that house and three times for that house and so on and so forth. So when it rang, you had to stop and listen and see. Ah, that's Sally's house down the road. Yeah. Wonder what they're going. Huh? Look, you all probably never did that, but as a child, that was... Everybody wanted to know what was going on. But we got to have a phone today. Got to have cell phones. And we can't just have a cell phone, we got to have a smartphone. But then we have to have data so that we can get online and we can check our email and check our... Yeah. God didn't say He's going to give us all that. He says, you need clothing, I'll see that you're dressed. You need food, I'll see that there's food. Now, it may be beans and rice, but you can live on that. We have been there, done that, didn't enjoy it, but it'll keep you alive. Bought my clothes at Salvation Army. Why not? My dad worked in a steel mill. Always had a car. Because he had to get called out at different times. He was a furnace technician. And he worked in an annealing plant, which meant that the furnace was hot 24 hours a day. 365 days a year. Well, no, they broke down twice a year to change the lining of the furnace. But if something went wrong, some other tech was sick, they'd call him and he had to go in. But you know how the rest of us got around? On a bus. I went to school on a bus, but I didn't walk. And it was a 25-minute walk. Now sometimes, you know, I'd want to save the money from the bus and so I could buy a candy bar or could buy something extra or whatever, so I'd walk. Had a bad report card, I'd always walk home. Took longer to get there. But what a point I'm making is he's saying, you're not going to be hungry, you're not going to be naked, and you're not going to be without shelter. Quit worrying about it. Cast that burden on God. Burden is defined in the dictionary as anything carried or endured. A load. Any of you carrying a load? Do you have a burden in your life? Well, I hope tonight you've looked at it and say, you know, that's really a burden I need to bear and I need to get about doing it. Or it might be, that's a burden that I can ask for help because God says we're supposed to help one another. Or it might be a burden that you just have to say, I need to give that to God and quit trying to handle it myself. Quit trying to do it. Because I can't. It just doesn't work. Some we have to endure on our own. Others, they can be shared. And others, God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Can we help you with any burdens that you're needing to share tonight? Can we help you go to God with burdens that are His? Please give us that opportunity and do it right now while we stand and while we sing.